So my poor wife the other day, I came home all excited about the song, made her sit down and watch this music video, all 7 minutes of it, and then listen to me like blab for about an hour about it. So you guys won't have to hear all of that rambling. But I've never like responded that way to a music video before. But this one just kind of made my mind melt. I don't know if it did that for anyone else, but all the images just kind of got me into this zone, and then the text about God's love being like madness, that when justice called for all of our debts, this idea when we'd made a mess of things and deserved punishment, that Christ wanted to be our friend instead. So the song for me really captured something really important about Christianity, and that God has this crazy love for us, and this idea that the God that we follow does things that are higher than we are, or that are wilder than we are. And I think that's important if we want to have a relationship with God, to know that this is the sort of God that we're trying to follow, that he does things on a different level than we do them.
It is. We're going to dig into a passage in John chapter 6. And just to give you an idea, as I was reading about John early on in my ministry, I picked up a book, and it said this in the introduction: the Gospel of John is shallow enough for a baby to wade in. It's deep enough for a grown man to drown in. And so we're leaving today the shallow end, and we're going out into the deep end. And so we don't want you to drown. We're going to try to make it as easy as can be. But there's some parts of God that are really deep and really difficult and not easy. And so we're gonna get to that, and I'm gonna ask Jake just to go ahead and take us there. Tell us about some of that.
So John 6, as we're gonna be looking, it's a long chapter. It starts off with this giant miracle. There's a crowd of more than 5,000 people around Jesus, but they're out in the middle of nowhere, and no one has food. And so there's a little bit of food. There's a few loaves and a few fish, and Jesus miraculously spreads that around to feed more than 5,000 people. So Jesus, he's got all these people around him, they're excited about him, and then he does a miracle, something no human could do on their own strength. And so the crowd gets really excited about this. And what do people do when they get really excited about Jesus? Well, the people of his day got political with their message. They wanted to make Jesus king. Sometimes we'll do that. But they catch up with Jesus, and that's what we're going to focus on today. They catch up with Jesus when their stomachs are rumbling once again. And they start asking, beat around the bush about, Jesus, wouldn't it be nice if you gave us some more bread? And they start asking these questions about it. So Jesus responds in a way that sounds crazy to his audience. And I think if you read it in a fresh way today, it'll sound crazy to you too. So let's look at what Jesus says to these people who are hungry. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. He goes on in the next verse and says, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Now, if you're just hearing this for the first time, that sounds kind of like something like zombie-ish or like a vampire type of statement. For the Jewish audience that was listening to this, it sounded maybe even more crazy than it sounds to us. They were very against ever eating or drinking the blood of anything. It was a very cultural, they would not do that. So to have a person come and say, well, you're all hungry and you want this miraculous bread, oh, how about you eat my flesh and drink my blood? That's what real food is. Everyone who heard that thought that was insane. They didn't know how to accept that. And today, if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to follow Jesus, I think we need to take a look at this Jesus that we want to follow. Because God's plan to save all of us, if you've grown up in church and you've heard it a lot, it might not sound that crazy. But think about what it meant that Jesus died for us. If you can picture this, we believe that God exists in three persons. So there's God the Father, God Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you could be in on the conversation before creation was ever made, God, the Father, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are talking about. We're going to make all this amazing stuff, and we're going to make humans, and we're going to give them the freedom to choose right or wrong, and they're going to mess everything up and use that freedom to hurt each other. And there's this idea around the floating around the circle, but we could save them if we go send Jesus and have him die at their hands, and then that would pay for all the bad stuff they're going to do. That would sound as crazy as if you came to my house this afternoon and my wife and I were talking about, our cat's been really bad, but I think I'm just going to die for all my cat's wrongdoing so that my cat gets off the hook. And if I actually like got a knife out and was like, okay, I'm going to kill myself for my cat, you would think like, that's crazy,
when you call 911,
right, right,
and they come and haul him off.
Right, and someone would say, like, no, Jake, you're worth more than a cat. You know, you're worth more than lots of cats. If you were in that circle with the Trinity, you'd be wanting to say, no, Jesus, you're worth more than humanity. Like, you are life. You are the creator. They're just humans. Like, just like you might tell me, you can go get another cat. You could have told Jesus, you can go make another humanity. Like, you are life. You can't die. I mean, that's like saying 2 + 2 = 17 or something. I mean, it doesn't compute that God could die. So when this plan that the Trinity comes up with to send Jesus to die for all of our sin, it is where logic ends. It doesn't make sense. I was talking this week in my small group, we were reading the Gospel of John, and one of the guys in our group, I think, I don't know for sure, but I think it was the first time he'd read John 15, where Jesus calls his disciples his friends. And he got kind of emotional about how crazy it is that Christ wants to be his friend. And like that song says, that when justice called for all of our debts, Christ came as our friend. It's crazy how much God loves us. So when Jesus describes to tell these people about his plan of salvation, he tells it in a crazy way. He doesn't dumb it down and like, here's a felt board with a bunch of stickers or something, or here's an ABC of how salvation works. He doesn't have a PowerPoint. He throws it out there like it's crazy, because the truth of it is God's plan is crazy. It's crazy how much he loves us. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus is he's okay if people don't accept him. He's got a crowd of thousands of people, and he starts telling them about his plan of salvation, but he tells it in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, if Bob and I were preaching to you guys today, and I said something that made 99% of you leave the room, I think Bob or one of us would probably...
Yeah, you'd be in trouble.
I'd be in trouble. And I might at some point be like, okay, let me make it simpler. Or I was just joking about that cat thing. I'm not going to really kill myself. You know,
there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
And this is, if I could just jump in here. God makes things difficult for us in a lot of different angles. We've been through two services. We had an early service. And we're going to hand out our crackers. We've upgraded from those little absolutely tasteless things that looked like flat chiclets to oyster crackers. And I was holding that oyster cracker in my hand, and I said, how can this make a difference in my life? I mean, and then a thimbleful of grape juice to wash that oyster cracker down, how can that be beneficial? And why does God come to us like that? Well, I think part of it is because we like God in a neat little box. And I talk about God being like a vending machine. I put in the right amount of change, pull the right knob, get what I want. And God doesn't work that way. And the song really makes it very clear. God's thoughts are higher and they're wider and they're bigger. And God's plan of salvation is astounding, quite frankly. It blows our mind. And there are a lot of things, that we can't figure out about God. So when you look in a moment about the Lord's Supper, I want you to think about this. My wife lives, or used to live, she lives in Missouri now, but she grew up on the West Coast. And we go out and visit her family, and we see the Pacific Ocean. I don't understand the Pacific Ocean. I can't name you 10 fish in the Pacific, all the Pacific Ocean. I don't know about seaweed. I don't know about currents. I don't know about the depths. And I certainly can't grab all of the Pacific Ocean in my arms or even my mind and say, I've got it. But there have been a few times, the weather, water's really cold, there have been a few times where I've just jumped right in and I've gone underneath it. I guarantee you, the Pacific Ocean can get all of me. So when we hear the rest of this message, you're going to have a chance. You can either walk with Jesus and jump in and say, God, you can have all of me, whether I understand you or not. This whole crazy thing about eat my flesh and drink my blood and these little crackers and this juice. You can look at that and say, God, this is wow, this is crazy. I can't figure it out. No, you can't. Neither can I, and neither can anybody else if they're honest. You can't get all of God. He can get all of you. And so my encouragement is jump on in. So, Jake, I jumped ahead because you got a slide where a bunch of people heard the message and said, well, we're not getting this. So
yeah, you're
have
still
at
warm
it, all right?
Thunder. Yeah. So if you guys all started to walk out, Bob and I would probably change our message. We would try to explain it. We'd have a good analogy to try to make it all make sense. I mean, Bob, right now with the ocean analogy, is trying to help us all make sense of it, so we stick with it. Jesus is a little different than us. We're trying to get more like him, but Jesus is willing to have a crowd of people, and he's willing to shoot straight with them and say, this is our crazy plan to save you. And it involves taking me and living off of me. It involves, just like your body, all your energy of your body comes from the food you eat, and all the stuff of your body comes from the food you eat. Jesus, in the same way, wants all of our energy to come from him, and he wants all the makeup of our life to come from him. But he didn't sit everyone down and explain it. Instead, he tells it to them, they eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, that's the sort of stuff he's telling them. He doesn't give any explanation. And out of the 5,000 or 10,000 that were there, there's only about a dozen left after he says that. Everyone else says, this is a hard teaching. We can't handle it. This doesn't make sense. We're out of here. This guy's crazy. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus is okay to let those people go. And as much as Bob and I might run after people that are walking away, here in the crowd today with you guys, Jesus is opening his arms to everybody, saying, here I am. I have a crazy love for you. But Jesus is waiting for you to come to him, waiting for you to stick with him, even when things get crazy. Today, if you had the awesome chance to be in Josh's class today, Josh and Amanda were down there. Amanda Monk shared something that just, with where they're at, was just super powerful. She talked about, you know, has your faith ever really been tested? If it hasn't, is your faith real if it hasn't been tested to the end? She was talking about, I'm butchering her wording here a little bit, but she was talking about if you haven't gone through something really, really hard, then how real is your faith? And not just have you gone a little ways in, have you gone to the kind of the point of no return? And is your faith sticking? You know, Josh is battling cancer. He's been battling cancer. And it's a hard road. And it's a hard road for Amanda to go through. And to hear that Amanda is holding on and Josh is holding on so strongly to God when things don't make sense. I don't have any reason, or Bob doesn't have any, none of this makes any sense to Josh or to me or to Bob. But Amanda has the same response that those dozen or so guys had that stuck with Jesus. You see, Jesus, he watches all those people leave him. The majority of people leave when things get hard, when things don't make sense. And even though Jesus doesn't chase after him, I think it hurt him. And he says to the guys that are right next to him, he says, what, are you going to leave me too? And this is how Peter responds to him. I love Peter's response. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, Peter doesn't say, oh, I understand everything that you just said about eating flesh and drinking blood. Peter doesn't say, I've got it all figured out. Here's an illustration of what you've been saying. What Peter says is, I don't have anywhere else to go but you, Jesus. That I have been around you enough, and I believe in you, and I'm going to say it. I know that you are God, not me, not anybody else. And so Peter says, even if it doesn't make sense, I'm sticking with you. I'm holding on to you no matter what happens. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that want to follow Jesus, that want to get political about Jesus, that are excited about Jesus, maybe even have seen a miracle. But when nothing makes sense in their life, a lot of people hit the road. When things get really hard in their life, a lot of people aren't like Amanda and Josh Monk. They're not like Peter. What Jesus is looking for is the people that say, I'm going to hold on to you, Jesus, no matter what happens in my life. Even if it doesn't make sense. You see that John 15 passage that the guy in my Bible study got emotional about, where Jesus calls some people his friend, and he says, I want to give everything to you. I want to make everything known to you. It's these guys that he calls his friends. It's the guys that stuck with him when things didn't make sense. And then right after talking to him about, I want you to be my friends, that's right around the time that he's having his last supper with him, the Lord's Supper, as we call it. You see, potentially years later, Jesus makes sense of all the crazy talk, and he has a meal with him. He sits him down and says, this bread is like my body that's going to be broken for you. And he says, do it. Eat this in remembrance of me. And then he takes some wine, and he says, this wine is like my blood that's going to be poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. For those guys that followed him, they didn't get the answer the next day after they said this. Things didn't make sense maybe for years. Eventually, it did make sense with God. Eventually, Jesus met them face to face and explained it. But they had to stick with him through the hard time. And I think a piece of it is what Amanda was sharing with us today, is that faith becomes real when you stick with Jesus, even when things don't make sense. That Peter becomes a better disciple because he stuck with Jesus in the hard time. If you're going through something really hard today, there's an opportunity for you to hold on and to actually get closer to God through it. You can walk away like the crowd, or you can be like Peter and say, I don't have anywhere else to go. No matter what happens, I'm sticking with Jesus. Today, we're going to take the Lord's Supper here in a minute, and this is your first time here at Maywood. You're invited to be here. Everybody's welcome here at this table. But what this signifies is we're going to have a little bit of bread, a little cracker like Bob was talking about, and we're going to have a little bit of juice. We're going to take it all at the same time. But if you take it, it has significance only if you say in that moment, Jesus, I'm sticking with you just like Peter did. Even if things don't make sense, I'm holding on to you. I want my life to be about you. I want to spend time with you, and I want to act like you. So the deacons are going to come forward, and we're going to have this time where we celebrate the Lord's Supper, is what we call it. Grab my Bible. As we're doing this, though, this is an opportunity for each one of us to think about, am I like Peter? Am I like Amanda? Or am I like just one of the people in the crowd? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you have a crazy love for us, that it's bigger than we can understand, and that you want to stick with us in a crazy way, that you even want to be our friend. Today, God, we've got these elements, these crackers and this juice, but what we're really saying is, Jesus, we want to live off of you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father has given me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but will raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." We're going to have a song of response. We're going to have some people up front praying. The worship team is coming up. This is our chance to say yes to what we've already done physically. To say, "Yes, God, I want to follow you. I want to live because you live." And so if you want to come down front and pray, that is great. If you want to stay where you're at and sing about the beautiful things that God can do in your life, that's also great. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the way that you love us. And God, I pray as we start our response right now, that our response would continue all through this week, that every day we would live in a response to what we've just done, what we've just experienced of your crazy love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.